Well, we're on the telephone with a farmer from Fairbury, Nebraska, Dustin Fairley. Dustin was a participant in a Nebraska Farm Bureau Federation Young Farmer and Rancher National Affairs trip to Washington, D.C. this week. Dustin, let's talk about that trip and some of the things you were able to experience there. And rather than go through the whole agenda, why don't you tell me what you think were some of the highlights of your visit this time?
Okay. Well, thanks, Ken, for having me. Like you said, I was part of the Young Farmers and Ranchers trip out to D.C. It's not so much of a lobby trip as it is kind of to inform and kind of build relationships with our representatives and different organizations out in D.C. We got to meet with various organizations from the Center for Science and the Public Interest to the USDA, the Farm Service Agency. Then we also got to spend a day up on the hill with all of our representatives, and with Nebraska, we're very, very lucky to have the ones we do for agriculture because, you know, they normally side with us almost 100% of the time, so it's always good conversations to have with them. Nothing ever gets heated. It's just kind of a, you know, thanks for the work they're doing and kind of share on how some of the new rules and regulations will affect us. This trip, that was kind of a lot of it, was the rules and regulations. I'm sure you guys have talked a lot about the Waters of the U.S. ruling. This is something that we kind of focused on a lot and how it's going to affect our small farms, you know, here in Fairbury, or we had another couple with us that farms up right between two rivers, so they're really going to be infected with it. That was kind of the one big one, the EPA's new ruling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I serve on our local FSA board, and in the last, well, just since the first year, we've had six new rulings on wetland classifications that, you know, we've never had six in the last 6 years, and so all of a sudden to have six in 1 year, it kind of makes you a little nervous on how the EPA is going about this. You know, they have this new proposed ruling, but I kind of think they're already starting to push that ruling through other routes. So it's definitely something to be worried about as a farmer, as a young farmer. You know, these rules will impact everything we do, you know, in the future of ag.
Now, I also noted here you visited the Center for Science and the Public Interest and talked about biotechnology. Now, that's a group, as I recall, that isn't always friendly to agriculture.
Well, you know, that's what we thought. That's what we were told. But once we started visiting with them, they really don't have a problem with biotechnology or even the genetic engineering. Their biggest thing is as long as we use it in the right ways and we do the right, you know, stewardships where we plant our PJ acres and stuff like that, so we don't, you know, so we don't abuse the science. As long as we're using it in the proper manner, they're okay with it. And I was kind of surprised. You know, I was getting myself all worked up going in there like we're going to have a throwdown, but it was pretty refreshing.
Well, that's good to hear. So we were talking earlier before we started about Washington, D.C. and what a busy place it is. And everybody, of course, focused on the issue of the day there. So I guess in general, now that you're back, how are you feeling about how things are going there?
Well, it seems like any time we go to D.C., you always kind of wonder how much good you actually did. You know, like you say, D.C. kind of goes from one disaster to another. One of the things we talked with the Farm Service Agency a couple of years ago was raising the rates for young farmers and ranchers on how much we can, or how much they can loan out to young farmers and young ranchers. You know, we've been talking about that for 3 years, and they finally kind of started doing something here this year with it. They're upping the limits on it. They're also putting more money in the pot for more farmers and ranchers to, you know, get loans. So you kind of got to wait a little while to see if you actually did any good or not, or if they're actually listening to what you say. But I think we really did do a lot of good. I know with the Waters of the U.S. issue, we brought up some new points of views on it. Kind of think we opened up their eyes a little bit on how it's actually going to affect us, you know, personally. So it was a good trip, but, you know, anything more than about 3 days in D.C. is just kind of too much.
Now let's switch gears for a minute here, if we can. I'd like to talk about you as a young farmer. Now, I understand you went to school here in Lincoln and then returned to the farm, what, about 4 years ago?
Yeah, it would have been about 4 or 5 years ago. I guess my first year farming on my own would have been about 7 years ago. I was able to rent a farm from a fellow neighbor, and we've just been kind of building since then. We started doing the custom farm work here 3 or 4 years ago. It started out by fertilizing. We then expended it to drilling crops in the winter and the spring. We also do some planting, and now last year we started doing custom silage harvesting, and that's been a really good one for us. It's really started to build here this year, so we're really looking forward to the future. We also dabble in some grain bin sales and certified wheat seed also.
Yeah, so, I mean, as a young farmer, we hear this these stories from elsewhere too, but I guess it sounds like you're really doing all you can to kind of get a foothold in the business and hope to make it long-term.
Yep, and that's, you just got to get your foot in the door. That's kind of one of the things where we started doing this custom work was we thought if we could build these relationships with some of these older farmers, it would allow us to get our foot in the door. So someday when they decide to retire that, you know, maybe we're kind of the first one on their list, or they could see how we take care of their land and they'd feel comfortable with that transition. It's been kind of hard in the last couple of years where, you know, the crop prices are good. They can hire guys like me, you know, it takes a lot of the stress out of it. And, you know, for them, farming's pretty fun right now with the high profits. But, you know, if the prices stay where they're at right now, I think a lot of that's going to change here in the next year or two.
Yeah, so what's your long-term goal there? I mean, you hope to acquire some land at some point?
Yep, we're pretty small right now. We only farm about 80 acres. We help my dad with his dairy farm also. The custom farming, it covers, oh, probably 6,000 acres or so. We'd like to build up to, you know, 1,500 acres or something like that, something that could provide for a family. Right now, my wife, she's an instructor at a local college, and so that kind of, that provides some supplemental income and, you know, all the health insurance benefits and stuff like that. So it's definitely difficult for anybody to get started in ag, and it's been that way for the last 100 years. So, and everyone else has been through it, and I'm sure we will too.
So you mentioned you are doing some work with your folks.
Yes, my dad's got a 100 cow dairy farm, and we still stay pretty active in that. We help out a lot with the crops, the hay, the silage, the manure. I try to stay out of the milk barn. I don't think there's anything I hate worse than milking cows besides dry cereal, so I guess someone's got to do it, but I just, it's not for me.
Yeah, that's quite a commitment on the dairy. Not saying you aren't committed, but that's a big job.
It takes a special mindset to milk cows every day, that's for sure.
So you mentioned with your trip to Washington, D.C. with the Farm Bureau that you were talking about some young farmer and rancher topics there with the USDA's Farm Service Agency. I mean, has that been helpful to you in getting started?
It has. It's kind of difficult at times. I did it for my first couple of years. I went through the Farm Service Agency for my operating notes. The problem with anything with government, though, is you have so much paperwork. And I know that was one of the things that we brought up, you know, a couple of years ago out there, was it was so much paperwork that it was actually cheaper for me to go through a local bank than it was through FSA. Well, they finally started changing some of that to where they have, you know, some of these more micro loans where it doesn't take as much paperwork, or the, you know, they've really cut it down almost in half what we used to have to do. They're also starting to raise the rates. I know I've been approved for loans before, but by the time they actually have the funding available, that purchase opportunity is already gone. So it makes it very difficult for a young farmer to use those loans if the funding's not there. So with them, I think, I don't remember what it was. They said how much they upped that amount by. I want to say they increased it by almost four times of what it used to be. So that should really help having that funding available at the proper times.